everybody that you run into. How in the world do you think anybody's supposed to respect you? It's a brand new day. Respect yourself. Well, some great messages there about respecting yourself and respecting your others from Joe Cocker. I'm host Sheldon Brown of Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us, and I'm here with technician Declan Curran. And Take It From Us is brought to you and funded by Ember Wellbeing Trust. And just recently I've learnt again, relearnt, if you like, the joys of gardening. And ironically, just as we came on air, there was an advertisement for a gardening program about community gardening, about cleaning up beaches and generally looking out for our environment. It's on Planet FM on Monday mornings at 9 a.m. So if you don't have your own garden, there's an opportunity to get out and do some planting, do some tending of plants, and that's what I've been doing, mostly planting on Waiheke Island, buying plants, agaves, other ground cover on Trade Me, and wandering around the city picking up these plants. And now I'm heading off for a couple of days off on Wednesday and Thursday to get stuck in and get my hands dirty and plant these plants. So that's, gardening, I think, is great for our mental health. It gives us some exercise. I've actually been feeling a bit fitter since I've been getting involved in the garden at Waiheke. But I just want to consider Declan, who's had some bad news over the last week. Declan, how are you fronting up to that?
Well, I'm not too bad now, but having to do a eulogy for a dear friend who I've known 38 years is not exactly the thing I had envisaged for the weekend. But I was just going to share, if I can, about the rainbow. On my way down to view Michelle's body on Friday, there was a rainbow, and the end of the rainbow, no matter where I was, ended right over the room that she was resting and right next to where I had to do the eulogy. When I got home that night, I had a friend of mine ring me. We speak every night. And on the TV was a program that came on that I didn't normally watch. And the question along the bottom is, what is the top colour of a rainbow? And I mentioned that at the eulogy, and also that they say that rainbows are the bridge between this world and the heavens. Really hard thing to do. I would not want to ever go through that again. And I only found out last Thursday night for a funeral on Saturday, and it's still buzzing around in my head when you've only got a day and a bit to get used to it.
Yeah, well, you sound quite emotional, and congratulations for stumping up and doing that eulogy. It's must have been a very emotional moment with a friend that you'd known for 38 years, and somebody, I imagine, who's around about the same age as you.
Yeah, she turns 21st of April's her birthday, and I always say to her, she changes to my year, and then about 4 or 5 months later, I leave her behind for the next year. But yeah, I have to say that I was in tears all the way through, and I had to stop a couple of times because it just was choking me up, but even now thinking about it. But
let's thanks for sharing that, and I think it's important to be able to talk publicly about those sorts of things, as it is about suicide, which of course is the subject of Take It From Us today. And there was some good news in mental health last weekend, with a report in the New Zealand Herald that Waikato District Health Board had apologised for the death of Nikki Stevens, who died while in mental health care at Waikato Hospital. This is a case that has attracted a lot of publicity. You may remember that Nikki Stevens, there was video footage of him walking out of the acute mental health unit at Waikato Hospital. And the report in the Herald says relief after apology for son's death. And this is relevant to the subject of Take It From Us today, where so many loved ones, families, their grief is intensified by the fact that they don't get apologies for the health system letting down their loved ones. And in this case, Nikki Stevens was clearly very badly let down, allowed to leave the acute psychiatric unit at, I think, called Rongomai, allowed to walk free without any interruption, and, of course, died in Waikato Hospital. So the mother of Nikki Stevens, who died while in mental health care, and I'm reading this from the Herald's report last Saturday, says a district health board's apology for her son's death is the first time in 4.5 years the board has taken responsibility for the tragedy. They have acknowledged their part in contributing to Nikki's death, and we've never had that before, Jane Stevens says. Waikato District Health Board issued a heartfelt apology to the family and withdrew its complaint to the Solicitor General over a coroner's inquest into the death after a 7-hour mediation on Thursday. Nikki Stevens died in March 2015, so it's over 4 years that it has taken for the Waikato District Health Board to issue an apology. He died after leaving Waikato Hospital's Henry Rongomau Bennett Centre on unescorted leave against the express direction of his parents. In December last year, Coroner Wallace Bain found the 21-year-old's suicide was avoidable and that his treatment by the DHB fell well short of what he and his parents would have expected. His mother, Jane Stevens, and Nikki's father, who's Dave McPherson, then a DHB board member, demanded an apology and compensation. Instead, the DHB's lawyer wrote to the Solicitor General asking for a new coroner and a second inquest, citing procedural issues with the original inquest. McPherson said the attempt to overturn the coroner's finding that Nikki's death was avoidable, quote, was one of the most shocking and hurtful things that has happened to us since Nikki's death. The fact that this has gone and that we've received a proper apology from the DHB means we can now get on with our lives and better support our other son and grandchildren. Stephen said the U-turn under the new direction of Commissioner Dr. Karen Putasi, who is the temporary sort of superintendent of Waikato District Health Board, together with a heartfelt and sincere apology, was welcome relief. For a family, that's huge, she says. That enables us to get some sense of closure and to be able to move forward. She said the intense focus on getting justice for Nikki and getting to the truth of what happened will now shift to their advocacy work for the families of other suicide victims in mental health care. Now, Jane Stevens talks about that advocacy in that story, and she is assisting one of our guests, the guest we had last week on Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us, her name was Corinda Taylor of Life Matters Suicide Prevention Trust. And she, Corinda, and Jane Stevens are working on a campaign to get justice for bereaved families. This is a campaign which has already attracted 2,000 signatures, and Jane Stevens from the Waikato, the mother of Nikki, has joined the campaign, as I say. In 2017, after a 4-year-long process, the Health and Disability Commissioner found the Southern District Health Board and his doctor. That's Ross Taylor, who is the son of Corinda Taylor, found that the doctor and the Southern District Health Board breached the Health and Disability Commissioner's Code relating to services being provided with reasonable care and skill to Corinda's son. A range of legal issues have arisen in the interim as the case slowly moves towards a coronial inquest scheduled for November. Now, it's been 6 years for Corinda to work through this sort of period of interim cases, legal action, and she says it cost us a lot of money to take the case through the Health and Disability Commission process, and if we hadn't done that, they wouldn't have found any fault. Do families keep quiet and allow this to happen, or do we go to the extent of employing lawyers? Because I couldn't have done it without lawyers. Mrs. Taylor wants Ross, her son, to have his day in court, but that day is likely to be a week-long hearing, and the price of the preparation time a legal team requires for that kind of case, let alone the court time itself, quickly mounts up. The Southland District Health Board, she says, and the doctor have the best legal representation. They have expert opinions, and that is funded by the taxpayer. So there is a power imbalance, says Corinda. They have all the resources, and we as a family do not have those resources. Well, we'll come back to this report about getting access to justice for suicide bereaved families in whānau. Let's take a music break, and you're going to play some tunes which are a commemoration of your friend.
I am indeed, yeah. One of them I've played before, and I think it's very, very beautiful song, originally done by Joni Mitchell, actually. She does quite a long, slow version, and Judy Collins. This is Ronan Keating, of course, with Both Sides Now. You're listening to Take It From Us, Mental Health Radio, broadcasting here every Tuesday from 12:30 to 1:30 on 104.6 FM. And here is Ronan Keating with Both Sides Now.
Of angel hair and ice cream castles in the air and feather canyons everywhere. I've looked at clouds that way, but now they only block the sun. They rain and snow on everyone. So many things I would have done, but clouds got in my way. I've looked at clouds from both sides now, from up and down, but still somehow it's cloud illusions I recall. I really don't know the clouds. And Ferris wheel, the dizzy dancing way that you feel as every fairy tale comes real. I've looked at love that way, but now it's just another show. You leave them laughing when you go. Let them know, don't give yourself away. I've looked at love from both sides now, from give and take, and still somehow it's love's illusions I recall. I really don't know love. cloud, dreams and schemes and circus crowds. I've looked at life that way. But now, old friends, they're acting strange. They shake their heads and they say that I've changed. But something's lost and something's gained in living every day. I've looked at life from both sides now, from win and lose, and still somehow it's life's illusions I recall. I really don't know life at all. I really don't know life at all.
Now, this is Mental Health Radio. Take it from us. I'm host Sheldon Brown with technician Declan Curran. And I'd like to invite Declan, with the loss of a friend who he's known for 38 years, just to perhaps tell us some of the positive things about that friend, if that's appropriate, Declan.
Oh, well, it's every time I saw her, she always had a big hug and big smile. Mm. And yeah, she had a lot of nephews and nieces, and we didn't get to spend as much time in recent years as we could have and should have, but yeah, it's far too early to lose somebody.
Yeah, and I did share with Declan that it's always very tragic to find that a daughter or a child has died ahead of their parents, and Declan did share with me that the parents are in their late 70s or 80s, and that they survive this tragic death. But yeah, I just thought I'd invite Declan to say a little bit more about this friend of his. Today we are talking about the injustices related to suicide, and Corinda Taylor, who was our guest last week, talking about, well, the funding discrepancy between suicide prevention and the road toll. Corinda is the leader of a petition that has been launched to persuade the government to address these injustices related to suicides and to address what she says is a legal system stacked against suicide bereaved families and whānau. It does seem to me that this is a very intense injustice. In the case of Nikki Stevens, the son of Jane Stevens and Dave McPherson, not only do they lose their son as a result of, potential weaknesses in the acute psychiatric services of Waikato District Health Board, but then they have to go through the trauma of 4 years of trying to extract an apology and some compensation. Whether compensation has been paid is not confirmed in the Herald story that I've shared with you earlier in our broadcast. But anyway, this is about getting access to justice for suicide bereaved families and whānau. And Corinda Taylor says, as support for her petition, at a time when families are grieving and at their most vulnerable, families face a complex and demanding funding application processes. Some are lucky to get legal aid, but many do not and face the legal system without support or face paying large sums toward legal costs. alongside often enduring lengthy delays which cause distress. And I'll just remind our listeners that Corinda Taylor has been waiting 6 years for some degree of satisfaction in relation to her son, Ross. Some are forced to represent themselves while others simply give up, as it is just too hard. Whether it is the death of a child in a mental health setting, the self-inflicted death of a prisoner, or a death as a result of neglectful state services, families experience a profound yet unnecessary injustice. And I read that again. Families experience a profound yet unnecessary injustice. And as Corinda says, this can happen at a time when families are grieving and at their most vulnerable. The Ministry of Justice spend on legal representation for people who have committed crimes. Suicide bereaved families and whānau, in contrast, do not get any free legal support when making complaints to the Health and Disability Commission or when facing coroner's inquests or papers done in chambers. Without funded representation, families are denied their voice and meaningful participation in the processes of investigation, learning and accountability. This is not what justice looks like. There needs to be a system that treats bereaved families and whānau with dignity and respect and supports them in navigating the legal process following a death and to achieve the truth. And how important that must be to get to the bottom of the truth, particularly if a mental health service has let down the families. And that was the case with Nikki Stevens at Waikato District Health Board. I read on, bereaved families and whānau need to have better access to justice. There are many more families and whānau just like us who face the legal system without support and lengthy delays which causes distress. More coroners need to be appointed to ensure no family waits more than 2 years for completion of their case. And I remind our listeners that Corinda Taylor and her husband have been waiting 6 years for closure on the case of their son, Ross. The Coroner's Act, this paper says, allows for up to 20 full-time coroners. Only 17 are presently employed, plus a temporary replacement for one coroner who died earlier this year. So it says, this is from Corinda Taylor in support of her petition to get access to justice. The unfair balance is the most significant injustice in the coronial system. Funding reform is urgently needed and we are calling for change. And that change she's calling for is the Ministry of Justice needs to appoint more coroners so that the backlog can be cleared and so that families and whānau do not have to wait in excess of 2 years for coroner's inquests or hearings on papers. Some families and whānau are waiting for more than 6 years. It is traumatising. I read that again. It is traumatising to wait that long without any support offered. And of course, this also has an impact on the suicide statistics because, as I have analysed in past broadcasts, when we analyse the annual report of the Director of Mental Health and Addiction, Dr. John Crawshaw, his statistics in the latest report of his, which was for 2017-18, the statistics for suicide go back to 2015, which of course has a quite dramatic impact on the total suicides that are occurring and tends to understate them, which I think suits the government and suits our health system, that suicide statistics are understated. We're just talking about the things that Corinda Taylor and her petition is calling for. The second point is that the Ministry of Justice needs to introduce free and fair legal representation for all suicide bereaved families and whānau to ensure a level playing field at inquests and other investigations such as the Health and Disability Commission. Well, let's take another music break, and today we are commemorating Declan's friend.
Michelle. This song here, I think she could probably relate to quite well. It's an Enya track. It was the only one that she did that was a top 10 single as a solo artist in the US, and it peaked at number 10 on the Billboard Top 100. It's a song called Only Time, and it's from Enya. You're listening to Take From Us, Mental Health Radio, broadcasting here every Tuesday from 12:30 to 1:30 on 104.6 Planet FM.
Well, that's a beautiful song, and lovely to commemorate Declan's friend, Michelle. We're talking today about a petition addressing the injustices related to suicides and to address a legal system which Corinda Taylor, who is the architect of this petition. The legal system, which she says is stacked against suicide bereaved families and whānau. And there are four things that this petition is calling for. I've mentioned the first two involving the Ministry of Justice. The third point is automatic, non-means-tested legal funding to families for specialist legal representation and expert witnesses immediately following a state-related death to cover preparation and representation of the inquest and other legal processes. That's a fairly wordy sort of requirement, but it does look to me as though this is a non-means-tested legal funding to families to help with specialist lawyers and expert witnesses and immediately following a state-related death. So that would be obviously like Nicky Stevens, where he was allowed to walk out of the Rongomai Bennett psychiatric unit, acute psychiatric unit, and end up dying in the Waikato River. The fourth thing that this petition is looking to achieve is funding equivalent to that enjoyed by state bodies and public authorities and any corporate bodies. So a fairness between the sort of support that they get, and we've heard it's often taxpayer funded support for expert legal authorities and witnesses and that sort of thing, to counter the claims made by the families who are bereaved. So there are, in this report that I've been reading from, other people that have been affected in this way, that are bereaved as a result of suicide. There is one woman here quoted saying, "Without money, we as survivors cannot access counselling, let alone receiving adequate help for our hurting children to prevent suicide." So this seems to me to be a very urgent issue that needs to be addressed. It seems that there is a great deal of injustice and unfairness for people that are vulnerable, who are grieving, who are facing the shock of probably what is a very big surprise in terms of the death of a family member. So let's take another muir. Just before we go to a music break, we hope to be talking to Corinda Taylor again next week to get her personal views about this and the personal emotions of hers involving having to wait 6 years fighting and battling. And she was saying last week when we were talking about the road toll and suicide prevention and comparing funding for those two things, that she was facing her husband who had been getting counselling, and that funding had been withdrawn. And she clearly felt that that was, again, very, very unfair. So let's go to another music break. A bit more music on Take It From Us today.
Yeah, this is one I asked Michelle's brother-in-law, because she's got two younger sisters. I asked her brother-in-law what artist particularly she would like, and he said she loved Rod Stewart. She also liked to do cruises, and she had been on a cruise with her family on her birthday back in late April and had another one booked for December. So I felt that very fitting would be sailing from Rod Stewart. And, of course, you're listening to Take It From Us Mental Health Radio, broadcasting here every Tuesday from 12:30 to 1:30 on Planet FM 104.6.
I'm sailing home again, across the sea. I am sailing stormy waters to be near you, to be free.
Well, this is Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us, and I'm host Sheldon Brown with technician Declan Curran, and we've been talking about this petition which has been mounted by Corinda Taylor of the Life Matters Suicide Prevention Trust in Dunedin, and we will be talking to Corinda next week about her personal thoughts and emotions around the incredibly long delay related to getting some closure to the death of her son, Ross. So we've been talking about this access to justice for suicide bereaved families and whānau. We'll take a little change and look at small steps that can lead to big changes on your wellness journey. These easy lifestyle changes are reported in a report that I gained off Facebook. It says these changes can make your day a little bit healthier. You could think about inviting your friends to a fitness class instead of inviting them to dinner. Sweating and socialising don't have to be mutually exclusive, it says, but if you're looking for something new and fun to do with your best friend, consider heading to the gym. You'll strengthen your friendship and strengthen your bodies. So that's got to be a win-win. A second point is feel like you're stuck in a rut. Well, what about taking a different route to work? Routines are great, says this report. They can make life easier and help you stick to healthy lifestyle changes. But routines can also be, well, very routine. So a simple way to add a little spontaneity to your life is to change your route to work every day for a week. It'll give your brain a little challenge first thing in the morning, and you'll get to see some new scenery. Well, my brain got a little challenge when I went on Trade Me at the weekend, and I had to find Danny Mora and a certain little cul-de-sac at Danny Mora. That certainly challenged my brain. And then I had foolishly made a purchase off Trade Me in Avondale, and so I was from one side of the city to the other. I haven't calculated how much these plants probably cost me in terms of petrol and time, but anyway, they're going to be part of my gardening project over the next couple of days. So we're just talking about little easy lifestyle changes that can make you a little bit healthier. What about reading a book instead of tons of articles online? It says, not all reading is created equal. The slow, focused way you read a book is different than the non-linear reading you do online. And I certainly find that reading a book in bed at time for sleep is a very good way of knocking me out without having to rely on any medication. So what about the other, this next one, the fourth little step is, instead of letting your anxiety go unchecked, try some deep breathing exercises. And I've certainly found that deep breathing is a great way of getting to sleep, as well as that reading of a book. So if you want to disengage from stressful thoughts, try focusing your attention on slow, deep breathing. Studies show that breathing deeply can slow the heartbeat, help lower or stabilize blood pressure, and promote relaxation. Another step here is to get ready at night instead of in the morning, so that I guess you reduce getting anxious about getting out the door. If you're not a morning person, well, try picking out your clothes, packing your lunch, and preparing your breakfast the night before. Reducing stress first thing in the morning can help improve your mood for the entire day. You could also take a break from social media and go on a little neighbourhood adventure. And this is, it says here, is watching your friends' seemingly awesome lives on social media making you feel bad about your own? Well, studies suggest you're not alone. Put an end to social media and help yourself feel better by turning off your phone and taking a short walk where you try to discover a cool new restaurant, cafe, or shop. Another step, instead of dwelling on your insecurities, remind yourself of your accomplishments. And, you know, we can take an A4 page and rule a line down the middle of it and put our insecurities on one side and our accomplishments on the other. And I normally find that my accomplishments outweigh my insecurities, and that makes me feel a whole lot better. So next time you feel unaccomplished or insecure, stop and take a moment to reframe your thinking. Try to remember the last time you received a compliment or felt really proud of your work. So let's leave them there. The last one, in fact, is just make one meal a day at home, which hopefully is going to be nutritious. It's going to perhaps get you away from the routine of Macca's or KFC, and you know, I think cooking is a very creative way of accomplishing goodness for us and making us more healthy. Well, let's take another music break, and then we've got an interview that we did earlier this year, which is going to complete our broadcast of Take It From Us.
Yeah, I was just going to say, with relation to Michelle, before I play this song, you never know how short life's going to be. She was healthy, went for walks, ate well, unlike me. I always thought I'd get to the end of the road first with multiple health issues, but she apparently wasn't feeling well last week. She had a blood clot, went to the lung, called an ambulance, and she unfortunately had cardiac arrest at North Shore Hospital, and that was it, unfortunately. I saw a couple of photos in the montage, actually, in the service, which I thought, oh, I took that one. Okay. And one of both of us at her 21st. Anyway, one of the songs that was playing while that montage was on was by Neil Diamond. I know that was a favourite of hers, called Crackling Rosie. So I'm going to play that for you now. Crackling Rosie, by the way, related to coming home and having a drink of wine, which I know she always used to like to do. Yeah, was Taken From Us, Mental Health Radio, broadcasting here every Tuesday from 12:30 to 1:30 on Planet FM 104.6.
On board, we gonna ride till there ain't no more. We'll go taking it slow, and Lord, don't you know, I'll have me a time with a poor man's lady, hitching on a twilight train. Ain't nothing here that I care to take along, maybe a song. Sing when I want. Don't need to say please to no man for a happy tune. Oh, I love my rosy child. You got the way to make me happy. You and me, we go in style. Crackling Rose, you're a store-bought woman, but you make me sing like a guitar humming. So hang on to me, girl, our song keeps running on. Play it now, play it now, play it now. My baby, crackling rose and make me a smile. Girl, if it lasts for an hour, well, that's all right. Cause we got all night to set the world right. Find us a dream, but don't ask no questions, yeah. Oh, I love my rosy child. You got the way to make me happy. You and me will go in style. Crackling Rose, you're a store-bought woman, but you make me sing like a guitar humming. So hang on to me, girl, our song keeps running. Play it now, my baby. Crackling Rose and make me a smile. Girl, if it lasts for an hour, well, that's alright. Cause we got all night. Set the world right. Find us a dream that don't ask no questions.
Well, this is Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us. I'm host Sheldon Brown with Declan Karen as the technician here at Mental Health Radio. And I've got to give a big rap to Declan. He's very committed to what he does, selection of songs. He's often texting me and calling me saying that he's just seen a mental health item on television or in the news. And he often brings Mind Food magazine along as well. So
funny you should say that, because I was doing some grocery shopping yesterday and I grabbed the latest Mind Food. It's got a couple of items in there about depression and mental health in general. So I didn't bring it today, but we can certainly get some stuff, some goodies out of there and share with everyone.
Yeah, well, thanks for that, Declan. Well, I was going to play an edited version of broadcast we did earlier this year, but I think we have pretty much run out of time for that. It's 18 minutes long, so we don't have 18 minutes on Take It From Us. But I did mention cooking and the creativity of cooking, and I think the satisfaction of achieving a healthy meal and perhaps inviting somebody round to enjoy that, so it becomes a an exercise in connection, and it becomes an exercise also in thinking of others and looking out for others. Perhaps your friend that you invite may not have access to a lot of money, doesn't perhaps eat well. So this is a gesture that we can put a little investment into cooking and looking out for somebody. And all in all, it's very much a win-win. And I've got an article here which says that art makes you happier and healthier. When you read a novel, and we talked about the benefit of reading as one of those little steps that we can take to help our journey to recovery or our journey to health. So it says, when you read a novel, sing a song, paint something, or play a musical instrument. Relaxed? Happy? Do you work out your mind too while dancing? Does it make you happy to attend a good concert, a play, a movie, or an exhibition? There definitely is a connection. Art in any form, whether while creating or observing, reduces the stress hormone called cortisol. It also releases the feel-good hormones called endorphins, which helps you combat stress and pain. By letting you enjoy a sense of fulfillment, it transforms you into a more positive, well-rounded human being. It increases dopamine that leads to positive sensations in us. It improves the connectivity between memory, self-monitoring, and introspection. It maximizes our power to focus and betters our problem-solving abilities. By enhancing the health of your mind and body, it also delays aging. Art can be created by anyone who is creative. That said, there is no one in this world that is not creative. If you haven't created any form of art till now, it only means you haven't tried doing it. That leaves us with one question. If anyone can create art, why can't everyone be an artist? It is not that artists are lucky enough to be able to enjoy the ability to paint or write. In fact, it is not about luck. It's about hard work. The number of hours they put into their art. They are not just creative, they are hardwired for creativity. They have honed themselves to their craft, and you can do it too. Just have a try. Creating art is an absolutely rewarding feeling. You are giving life to something from within yourself, something original that you can share with the world. Something that has a pure intrinsic value. And I'd say there that Framework was running a bone carving school when I came out of hospital in Dunedin, and that was the first place that I targeted. I enrolled with Framework's personal focus program and started bone carving. I'd never done anything like bone carving, and I took to it like a duck to water. Made some fairly creative bone carving art, which I have on the wall of my lounge still. I gave, there is a tradition that the first piece of art or bone carving is to be given away, and I gave that away to one of my colleagues who was a patient at the same hospital as me, and he used to wear it. He was a doctor, and often he got a comment from his patients about this piece of bone carving. So That's an example. Gardening, I've already mentioned. And Kalmana Gardens in Herne Bay still operates. It used to be run by Framework, which of course is now Ember. But I'm sure that if you go along there, there is still an opportunity to get involved in gardening and see the benefits of gardening. Now, we're reading this article about that art makes you happier and healthier. It says the word art is associated with many misconceptions. There are a few that may think you need to create sculptures and paintings to be considered a real artist. And then there are others who think art is a talent. You're either born with it or not. A few more are of the opinion that they cannot benefit from art since they are not good at it. There may be some more who may feel only an art therapist can help you enjoy the therapeutic benefits of art. But here, art says art could be anything: cooking, writing, photography, gardening, comedy. Art is what you make of it. It has no constraints. The definition is wide open. You don't have to worry about which art form to pursue. Anything that comes naturally to you, vibes with your personality, is right for you. And, of course, I can't help but mention Toi Ora Live Arts. We have lost a little bit of contact, actually, with Toi Ora, but a wonderful asset for those with mental health and addictions. Toi Ora Live Arts, which is just behind Macca's, McDonald's in Great North Road. Wonderful place to go, wonderful place to learn creativity, and a very, very fostering and supportive environment there.
I was just going to say, I had a cheeky thought in my mind that you could whip next door to Macca's and have a feed while you're waiting for the paint to dry.
Well, that's a possibility, though. I'm trying to promote healthy living here.
I know, so therefore you have to go the other way and hit KFC. No, no, you've got to bring your own lunch along occasionally, don't you?
So how are we doing for time?
Well, we've got a couple of minutes there. Yeah, we do.
Yep. So it says, while you spend those hours alone with your creativity, engaged in your creative task, you will find your mindset and your thoughts in a state of complete freedom, away from anxiety, negativity, and stress. You experience a flow that cannot be expressed in words. Once you are into it, it keeps going. Art is never complete. It takes you deep into your personal development. When you deeply engage yourself in art, your mind starts churning out new ideas, thoughts, and imagery, all in a positive way. No vitamin or mental supplement can do what art can do to you. Creating your own art is the ultimate mental boost you can ever experience in life. And I think also it gives you an opportunity to perhaps make presents out of some of the art that you do. I had a couple of guests the other day who went to a Saturday night art class where they offer the opportunity for people to do some painting, and they returned home very proud of these two pieces of art. And also they were heading off to a 92-year-old's birthday, and they thought they would make a gift out of one of these pieces of art. So how are we doing?
Yeah, good. I just wanted to finish off, if I can, with something that's a good reminder for us all, I think, on our daily outings that we have. And Michelle was very much into her roses. She always wanted to retire with roses in her garden, and she never got to move to where she wanted, unfortunately. But when I went up to do the eulogy, there was a big bunch of flowers, a massive bunch of flowers on the roses, and I just went up and popped one hand on the coffin and smelt the roses. And the first thing I said when I got up onto the podium there, which was a nightmarish act, I must say, was they always say we should take time out to smell the roses. And I think that's the big thing, is, you know, to be gentle on ourselves. Don't expect too much, don't put too much in, but enjoy life while it's here, because it just shows you how precious everything is.
Well, we better leave it there.
That's us, I think. Yeah, we're ready to rock and roll.
With Joe Cocker.
We are. We'll see you next week. Have a good one, everyone.
Thanks for listening.